الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our discussion with regards to the times the prescribed times of the obligatory prayer and we have seen that no doubt the obligatory prayers there are five and likewise those prescribed times there are five and it is not allowed to perform the prayer before its prescribed time. And if one were to do that on accident or on purpose, knowing or not knowing, knowing or forgetfully, then the prayer would be rejected and not accepted and he would be required to repeat that. And likewise, we have seen that every time it has a beginning and an ending. It has a beginning and an ending. And after Dhuhr time, then the times they continue. And whenever Dhuhr begins, it will continue until it ends. And whenever it ends, the Asr comes in. And then the Asr continues until the setting of the sun. And after that, the Maghrib comes in. And then the Maghrib continues until the setting of the redness in the sky. And then after that, the Isha comes in. And it will continue until the middle of the night, only the prescribed time, and in reality the time it continues until the rising of the Fajr. And we have seen likewise that for the Dhuhr, that for the Asr there's two times, the proper time, which is known in the terminology of the people of knowledge as al-waqt al-ikhtiyari, al-waqt al-ikhtiyar, and then after that there is the time for there's a time that is only in case of necessity, and that is known as al-waqt al-ittirari, or waqtu al-ittirar. And likewise, Isha was the same manner. And likewise, we have seen that Isha, it was in the same manner. And we have seen that the means to identify these times are from the signs, are from the great signs in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the position of the sun and the earth and the moon. And this is from the amazing affairs indicating the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whenever the darkness has engulfed, whenever the night has covered the daylight entirely, and it's completely dark outside, and then the sun will begin to rise in the Fajr, the dawn will break, and the light will come to the horizon, across the horizon long ways, horizontally. At this time the Fajr comes in, and it remains until the sun reaches the horizon and begins to break and to break the horizon. At this time this is called sunrise, and this will continue until the sun passes the horizon entirely and then rises above the horizon quite a bit, and approximately 15 minutes after the beginning of that sunrise, the beginning of the sun to break the horizon, and then until it rises entirely and comes into the sky some, this is about 15 minutes. And then the sun will continue to go. And at this time the duha comes in. And then the sun will continue to rise until it reaches the peak of the sky. And we have seen likewise at this time the shade will be seen. And the shade as the sun is rising will continue to decrease and to move. And whenever the sun reaches the middle of the sky, the shade of something will stop moving. There will be a portion of shade left whenever the sun reaches the peak of the sky. And then whenever it breaks and starts to move to the west, now the shade of that thing will start to move again. So whenever that shade begins to move in the other direction, at this time the Dhuhr has entered. So this can be identified by the shade and the position of the sun. Whenever the sun is in high noon, and when it reaches high noon, the shadow of something, it will stop for a moment. And then whenever the sun breaks the zenith in the middle of the sky and the zawal happens, then that shade will start to move again. This is the beginning of the Dhuhr time. That will continue until the shade of that shade that it began moving from that point reaches the distance of that thing, the distance of that object. This is the length or the time for Dhuhr. At that time, whenever that shade reaches the length of that object, and not including the shade that was left at the beginning, but the shade that is moving, then this is the indication that the Asr time has entered. And then the Asr time will continue until that shade is twice as long as that object. Or likewise, until the sun has fallen enough to where it has changed colors. It has changed colors in the sky and become a yellow reddish color. At this time, the time for Asr is finished, you know, the proper time. And then that from that time until the setting of the sun, you know, until the sun, the bottom of the sun reaches the horizon, then the time for Asr continues for those who have a reason and for those who have an excuse. This is the Asr time. From the time whenever the sun reaches the horizon, the bottom of it touches the horizon until it goes beyond the horizon, this is a forbidden time for prayer, just like whenever it's rising, the same situation. Also, whenever the sun is in the middle of the sky as well, this is a forbidden time for prayer. This is the forbidden time for prayer. Whenever it reaches the middle until it breaks for the time of Dhuhr, this is also a forbidden time for prayer. So whenever the sun now goes through past Dhuhr to Asr, then it comes down and hits the horizon. At this time, it's forbidden to pray until the sun falls all the way behind the horizon. Whenever the top of the sun falls behind the horizon, at this time the Maghrib comes in. At this time the Maghrib comes in. And it continues until the red in the sky, the red in the horizon is gone. The red, then whenever the sun is setting, even after it set entirely, there'll still be some light in the sky. And there'll still be some color in the sky. And that color will remain until there's almost nothing left except for a red color in the sky and a dark red. And whenever that goes away and it's completely black on the horizon, at this time the Isha has entered. At this time the Isha has entered. And the Isha will continue until the middle of the night. Until the middle of the night. And then after the middle of the night, then the Isha time continues for those who have an excuse and for those who are in a state of necessity until the rising of the Fajr. Until the rising of the Fajr. So we have discussed this in our previous classes, and likewise we have seen that there is also a manner to identify the times from a calculation method. So to identify the Dhuhr time from a calculation method, one will calculate the time from the sunrise until the sunset. From the sunrise until the sunset, and then divide it in half, and this is the time of Dhuhr. From the time of Shuruq until the time of Ghurub, you add those hours up and divide it in half, and this will identify for you the time of Dhuhr. The time of Dhuhr begins. And as for the middle of the night, then it's from the sunset until the rising of the dawn, and until the rising of the Fajr. Until the rising of the Fajr. Then you count the hours between the sunset and between the rising of the true Fajr, and then you divide that in half, and this will determine the middle of the night. This will determine the middle of the night. So this is also from the methodology of calculating the times. Of calculating the times by identifying the middle of the night and in the middle of the day. The middle of the night and then the middle of the day. So with regards to the Dhuhr time, we have seen that. That the Dhuhr time, it begins after at the Zawal. And the Zawal is whenever the sun reaches the middle of the sky and then it moves. And then it moves. At this time the Dhuhr begins. And all of the narrations, they have clarified that which we have read previously. And likewise it continues until the shade of a person or the shade of an object reaches its distance, reaches its length. The shade of something or the shadow of something will reach the length of that thing. At this time the Dhuhr is finished. And at that time likewise Asr begins. Asr begins. So this one is very clear, and especially in those narrations that we read previously, the narration of Jibreel praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leading his companions in prayer, and those other narrations likewise that we have read. As for with regards to the Asr, then the Asr has two times. The Asr has two times. So now we discuss this in a bit of detail to be upon clarity. So the Asr, it has two times. And we've seen that it begins whenever Dhuhr ends. So whenever the shade of something reaches its length, at this time the Dhuhr ends and the Asr begins. But that Asr, it will continue. The time will continue until that shade is twice the distance of that thing. Until the shade of an object is twice its distance. Or likewise, until the sun changes colors and it starts to have a yellow reddish color. Any meaning, whenever it's leaning in the sky. Whenever it is leaning in the sky. And so this time here, this is called al-waqt al-ikhtiyari. This is the time that it's proper to pray Asr. The one who prayed Asr in this time, he prayed his prayer in the proper time, and there's no blame on him. The one who prayed their prayer at this time, he prayed their prayer in the Asr time, there's no blame on him. As for the one who delayed after that, for no reason, then his prayer will be considered correct, but he's sinning. It's not allowed to delay the Asr prayer after that time. It's not allowed to delay the Asr prayer until after that time. So the time of Asr is the beginning time, before this happens, before the shade becomes twice its length, before the shade of an object becomes twice its length. Once that happens, the time for Asr is finished, in general, only the proper time. The proper time. To delay it past that time is not allowed. The one who delayed it past that time, while he has no excuse, he's considered sinning. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is a sin and not allowed. This is a sin and not allowed. As for the one who had an excuse, then it's allowed for him. The one who was sick, for example, or the one who was traveling, or the woman who was on her menses and she became clean, and the likes like this, or someone who had accepted Islam at that time, or just before that time, so on and so forth, or he had another legitimate excuse, he was not able to pray before that, it's allowed for him to pray at that time, and there's no blame on him, and he's considered praying Asr in his proper time. He's considered praying Asr in his proper time, even though it's after the normal time. So this is the time that is allowed for people of necessity. That's why they call it al-waqt al-ittirari, or waqt al-ittirar. Al-ittirar literally means necessity. A person, he's in a state of necessity now, it's allowed for him, and there's no blame on him, and he's considered performing the prayer in the proper time. The point is that for us to know that on a daily basis, normally, whenever we're going about our day, and the likes like this, it's not allowed for us to delay it to that time. It's not allowed for us to delay it to that time. So it has come in Sahih Muslim. We have read a number of these narrations before, but just to emphasize, وَوَقْتُ الْعَصْرِ مَا لَمْ تَسْفَرِّ الشَّمْسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in the time for Asr is so long that the sun did not make the al-isfirar. مَا لَمْ تَسْفَرِّ الشَّمْسِ. Al-isfirar is whenever the sun changes colors. Whenever it starts to change colors, whenever it's in the middle of the sky and all the way until, and throughout the Asr time and the majority, throughout the Dhuhr time, and the majority of the Asr time is high in the sky, and likewise it's bright and it's white and it's powerful, and it has lots of heat. So that this time, this is the proper time. Whenever the sun starts to come down, when it starts to come down, it's still in the sky. It's still in the sky, but now it's leaning on its way to the horizon. Then it will change colors. This is called isfirar, al-isfirar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in this narration, wa waqtul asri ma lam tasfar shams. So the time for asr is so long that the sun did not change colors like this. The so long is the sun did not change. It did not turn into this yellow reddish color, and the lights like this. Also, as well, it has been narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu and collected by At-Tirmidhi and other than him, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ وَقْتِ صَلَاتِ الْعَصْرِ حِينَ يَدْخُلُ وَقْتُهَا وَإِنَّ آخِرَ وَقْتِهَا حِينَ تَسْفَرِ الشَّمْسِ. That indeed, the first time for the Asr prayer is whenever the time enters. We have seen when that is. And the last time for the Asr prayer is whenever the sun changes colors into this yellow reddish color, into this yellow reddish color. So therefore, it's not allowed to delay past that time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set these limits and he clarified that which Allah has mentioned in general in his book. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. That indeed the prayer has been prescribed, made obligatory upon the believers at fixed times. At fixed times. These narrations are clarifying the details of those fixed times. Likewise, it has been narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, collected by al-Imam Muslim. It's been collected by Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tilka salatul munafiq, tilka salatul munafiq." This is the prayer of the hypocrite. يجلس يركب شمسة حتى إذا كانت بين قرن الشيطان قام فنقرها أربعة لا يذكر الله فيها إلا قليلا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh, this is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. He will sit and he will observe the sun, waiting until it's between the two horns of the devil." Any meaning just before its time to set. Meaning whenever it's after the time of al-isfirar. Meaning whenever the sun comes to the time of al-isfirar, in between that period. Any whenever it's not allowed to pray. He's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the prayer of the munafiq, the one who waits to pray Asr until this time. The one who waits to pray Asr until this time, and then he sees whenever it's coming down close to the sunset, he will rise up and then he will peck out four rak'ah. Naqfa naqaraha arba'an. Yani naqara literally is the action of the bird when it's pecking at the ground. when it's pecking at the ground. Yani he's saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying he will rise up now and peck out four of them. Yani pecking the ground like a bird. Yani meaning indicating that he's moving so quickly and likewise moving heedlessly. لا يذكر الله فيها إلا قليلا. He doesn't even remember Allah in those four pecks. Yani in those four rak'ah except for a little. And one wording in Sunan Abi Dawood, حتى إذا سفرت كانت بين قرني الشيطان. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that munafiq, the prayer of the hypocrite, he'll wait and watch the sun until it turns into this yellowish color. Meaning at this time of his firar, and at that time it's between the horns of the devil, and then he will stand up and he will peck the prayer for rak'ah. So this is an indication it's not allowed. And this is very blameworthy. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ from the attributes of the hypocrites, those who have no care and concern for the legislation of Allah. They have no honor and respect in their heart for the deen of Allah. Even if he prayed it, he just prays it like this in this manner, neglecting its conditions and neglecting its pillars and neglecting the essence of the prayer, which is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is all a clarification of that time, that it ends at that time. So these narrations clarifying here about al-isfirar. The other narrations we have mentioned, حتى يكون حتى يسير ذل كل شيء مثليه. حتى يسير ذل كل شيء مثليه. This was in the narrations that have preceded, until the shadow of something will be twice its distance or twice its length. The shadow of an object will become twice its length. And these two things, they're approximately the same. These two signs here are approximately the same. The shadow of something is twice its length, and likewise, whenever the sun moves into the position in the sky like this, and it begins to change colors, which is known as al-isfirar. So now we see that this is the prime time. This is the proper time. This is the correct time to pray. After that, it's not allowed, except in case of necessity. So now the evidence to clarify this, except in the case of necessity, and how to identify that now Asr has two times, not just one time. The Asr has two times, not just one time. The proper time and then the time of necessity is that which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurayrata radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أدرك ركعة من العصر قبل أن تغرب الشمس فقد أدرك العصر. فقد أدرك العصر. That whoever catches one rak'ah of Asr before the sun sets, then he caught the Asr. And whenever we look at this narration, and it's mentioning here that whoever catches one rak'ah of Asr before the sun sets, then he caught the Asr. Then if we compare this to the previous narrations that have been mentioned, especially the one with the blame of the one who delayed it, until this time, and he's praying in this manner, and that's the description of the prayer of the hypocrite, that's blameworthy. But here is an allowance of this affair. So the people of knowledge have gathered between this. The one who delayed it in that manner, he doesn't have an excuse. And the one who prayed it here, he caught one rak'ah before, he caught before the sunset, meaning this is for the one who has an excuse. This is for the one who has an excuse. And likewise, even the one who didn't have an excuse, he's considered praying it, but now we see, along with that, he's sinning if he didn't have an excuse. Based upon this narration and the other narrations that have preceded. So again, the one who prayed the Asr in its proper time, from the time that it enters until the time that the sun begins to change colors, the Isfirar, then he performed it in the proper time. And the one who delayed it after that, but he had an excuse, it's allowed for him and the prayer is good and there's no blame on him, and he performed it also in the proper time. And the one who delayed it after that without an excuse, his prayer is considered correct, but he's also sinning along with that, for delaying it out of the proper time, and he has a resemblance in doing that to the hypocrites. Wa liyadu billah. So these are some of the evidences that make it clear. And also the Asr prayer is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned a number of narrations about this affair. And Allah, he mentioned hafidhu ala salawati wa salatul wusta wa qumu lillahi qanitin. And Allah, he mentioned and maintain the prayers, preserve the prayers, uphold the prayers, honor the prayers, observe them properly, and the middle prayer, and stand devote in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand in devote in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the middle prayer is the Asr prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned on the day of Khandaq that he was delayed. شَغَلُونَ عَنْ صَلَاتِ الْعَصْرِ صَلَاتُ الْوُسْطَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they preoccupied us from the Asr prayer, from the middle prayer. And then he made dua against them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any of those pagans who tried to raid Al-Madinah. But the point is that that prayer is identified. In other narrations, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man fatatuhu al-asr faqad habita 'amalu." The one that he missed the asr prayer, then his deeds will be invalidated. His deeds will be invalidated. In other words, "Man fatatuhu al-asr ka'annama wutira ahluhu." Ka'annama wutira ahluhu. The one who missed the asr prayer, is like he lost his whole family. Meaning like his whole family was lost and destroyed, like lost and taken away from him. Yani all at one time. Yani the value of that prayer and the status of that prayer. Likewise, the Asr prayer, no doubt it's in the end of the day. So many times this is in the peak or the prime time of the people doing their business, running around and taking care of their business and their affairs. So this is a time for a believer to remember Allah, and to fulfill that obligation and to take time out and to not become preoccupied with the worldly life and the worldly affairs and leaving off the Asr prayer. And if he's in a place near the masjid, then no doubt in that time it's an obligation for him to pray in congregation. But if he's not around the masjid, at least he knows now that he will not delay it beyond that time, so long as he played it in the proper time. Maybe he's busy, and in these lands we don't have masjid any close. So sometimes maybe a person, he's earning his livelihood throughout the day, he's not able to make it to the masjid for all five daily prayers. Maybe not for the asr, for example. But now he will know the time that is allowed. So long as he performed it in this time, he has performed it in the proper time, there's no blame on him. But if he delayed it beyond that time without an excuse, now he's blameworthy, definitely. So from the greatest means of success in this life is to observe these prayers. To observe them, to observe their conditions, to observe their rights, to observe the pillars and the obligations and the sunan, and to fulfill the rights of these prayers inwardly and outwardly wherever one may be. From that is learning these times. As for the Maghrib, then no doubt we have seen that the Maghrib prayer, it begins at the time of sunset, meaning whenever the top of the sun goes beyond the horizon. At this time the Maghrib begins, and it continues until the red in the sky goes away. We have seen those narrations. وَوَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَغْرِبِ مَا لَمْ يَغِبِ الشَّفِقِ. That the time for the Maghrib continues so long as the red in the sky is there. So long as the red in the sky did not go away. And so long as the red in the sky did not set, or the horizon, the red on the horizon did not set. After that time, then the Maghrib time is over. And this is the case. So the time of the Maghrib is shorter than other times, but it still has a good period to be performed. And the one who performed it in that time, he performed it properly. And there's no blame on him. As for the Isha prayer, then we have seen likewise after the Maghrib prayer is finished. Meaning whenever the red on the horizon goes away. And the darkness settles in, at this time the Isha begins. And it continues all the way until the middle of the night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَإِذَا صَلَّيْتُمَ الْعِشَاءَ فَإِنَّهُ وَقْتٌ إِلَى نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ. That if you prayed the Isha, any meaning that the time had come in, then indeed it's time, the time for that continues until the middle of the night. And other narrations likewise in the Tirmidhi, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ وَقْتِ الْعِشَاءَ الْآخِرَ حِينَ يَغِيبُ الْأُفُقُ وَإِنَّ آخِرَ وَقْتِهَا حِينَ يَنْتَصِفُ اللَّيْلِ That the beginning, the first time for the Isha, is whenever the red in the horizon goes away. And the last time for the Isha is in the middle of the night. So here again we have the issue of those two times. So we shouldn't also delay the Isha beyond that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is verifying now that the Isha ends in the middle of the night. Some people, they have a misunderstanding, and they think they can just delay the Isha all night long. All the way until the Fajr. That's not the case. Not for people who have no excuse. Not for people who have no legislative excuse. Rather, it's very clear. فَإِنَّهُ وَقْتٌ إِلَى نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ فَوَقْتُ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ إِلَى نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ الْأَوْسَطِ. As has come likewise in Sahih Muslim, that the time for Isha is until the middle of the night. The time for the Isha is until the middle of the night. So this is what concerned us likewise, to be able to identify the middle of the night. And that was to calculate and to add the time from the sunset until the rising of the Fajr. You count the hours here and you divide it in half. And this will give you the middle of the night. From the sunset until the rising of the Fajr, the time of Fajr. In this manner you find the middle of the night. To find the middle of the day, from sunrise to sunset. From sunrise. Sunrise is called shuruq. From sunrise to sunset. The middle of the night, from sunset to fajr. Which is the dawn, the daybreak, to the fajr, the time when it's allowed to pray fajr. This will give you the middle of the night. So then once the maghrib is gone and the darkness has set in, then the isha time has begun and it continues till the middle of the night. Whoever prayed it in that time, he prayed it in the proper time. There's no blame on him. There's no blame on him. The only way there will be blame on somebody who prayed it in these times that we're saying this, he prayed it in the proper time. And that's in general. As for someone who it's an obligation for him to attend the congregational prayer, as for someone who it's an obligation for him to attend the congregational prayer, then if he did not attend the congregational prayer, he will be blameworthy. He'll be blameworthy. We're just talking now about the general time. The one who prays it in these times, then he had prayed the prayer in the proper time, and Allah knows best. So this is waqtu al-ikhtiyar, the al-isha. This is the proper time for the isha. The one who prayed in this time, he prayed it in the proper time. The one who delayed it after that without an excuse, he's sinning. The one who delayed it after that without an excuse, he's sinning. Likewise, to clarify as well, that these are two times. That these are two times. To clarify this issue now, that it has two times. After the middle of the night, in reality, the time for Isha continues. But that's only in the right of those who have an excuse. And for those who are in a state of necessity, those who are in a state of need. And it will continue until the rising of the Fajr. It will continue until the rising of the Fajr. And this is the position of the majority of the scholars. And this is the position of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And likewise the position of Ash-Shawkani. And also Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahumullah, and the fatwa of Al-Lajna Adaimah, yani the board of major scholars in Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Al-Saudiyah. So it has come in Sahih Muslim from the Haditha Abi Qatadah radiallahu anhu, and about the issue of sleeping on the prayer. About the issue of sleeping on the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي النَّوْمِ تَفْرِيطُ إِنَّمَا تَفْرِيطُ عَلَى مَنْ لَمْ يُصَلِّ الصَّلَاةَ حَتَّى يَجِيءَ وَقْتُ الْأُخْرَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's no negligence in sleeping on the prayer. Meaning in the one who slept on the prayer on accident. And he meaning the one who slept on the prayer on accident. There's no negligence in sleeping any with regards to the prayer. The negligence is only in the case of the one who did not pray a prayer until the time for the next prayer came. So this is an indication that yani the Isha is going to continue until the time of the next prayer. That every prayer, it continues until the time of the next prayer. And they connect together like this. One prayer will come, and then it will continue until the time of the next prayer, except for the Fajr, because there's a consensus about this, and the signs of the Fajr are very clear. There's a consensus that the Fajr does not connect to anything after that. And the Fajr does not connect to the Dhuhr prayer. As for the other prayers, they're connecting one after the other. One will come in, and then it will go out, and the other will enter in this manner like this. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning here. So this is from the evidence establishing that it's not considered negligence, the one who accidentally slept, and then he missed the prayer. But what is negligence is the one who delayed the prayer from its time until the time of that the next prayer came. We spoke about before sleeping on the prayer, we shouldn't misunderstand. The one who did not take the means to wake up, he's negligent. He's negligent, he's blameworthy. This isn't the case for the one who took the means and something happened and he slept on accident beyond the time. And he did not mean to. As for somebody who did that on purpose or he did not take the proper means, then no doubt he's blameworthy. Then no doubt is blameworthy. Likewise, it has been collected by Abdul Razak in his Musannif from Thawri. Rahimahullah, he says, وَقَدْ كَانَ بَعْضُ فُقَهَا يَقُولُ الظُّهْرُ وَعَصْرُ حَتَّى اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَفُوتُ الْمَغْرِبُ وَالْإِشَى حَتَّى الْفَجْرُ وَلَا يَفُوتُ الْفَجْرُ حَتَّى تَطْرُعُ الشَّمْسِ. That Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he died in 161 from the best of the scholars of hadith. He says that the fuqaha, some of them, they would say that the dhuhr and asr, the time continues until the night, and until the sunset. And then a person, he will not miss maghrib and isha until the fajr comes. And the fajr will not be missed until the sun rises. So this is something that the people of knowledge, they have mentioned. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, عن عبد الرحمن بن عوف وابي هريرة وابن عباس أنهم قالوا في الحائض إذا طهرت قبل طلوع الفجر صلاة المغرب والعشاء ولم ينقل عن صاحبيا خلافه ووافقهم التابعون على أن العشاء تجب بالطهر قبل الفجر. That has been narrated from عبد الرحمن بن عوف and likewise أبي هريرة بن عباس رضي الله عنهم, that they all mentioned in the right of the woman who was on her menses, that if she becomes pure before the rising of the fajr, then it's incumbent for her to pray maghrib and isha. The woman who becomes pure before the rising of the fajr, and meaning in the end of the night, the woman who becomes pure before the rising of the fajr, it's an obligation for her to pray al maghrib and isha. So Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he's mentioning this has been narrated from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and likewise from Abi Hurairah, and also Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and he says, وَلَمْ يُنْقَلْ عَنْ صَحَابِيًا خِلَافُهُ, and it has not been narrated or transmitted from any other companion contrary to that, meaning that this is something that they gave the fatwa with regards to and that which they were upon, and no one else from the companions opposed them. Rather, this is something that apparently they agreed with. And there's no mention of anyone contrary to that, any of the other companions giving a fatwa. Contrary to that, he says, rather, بَلْ وَافَقَهُمَ التَّابِعُونَ عَلَى أَنَّ الْعِشَاءَ تَجِبُ بِطُهْرُ قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ. But rather, the tabi'un after them, they're in agreements with them for the fact that the isha is an obligation for the woman who becomes clean from her menses before fajr, and indicating a difference of opinion from the tabi'in with regards to maghrib and isha. So those noble companions, they gave the fatwa with regards to maghrib and isha. But the tabi'un after that, later they differed whether maghrib was included or not, but they did not differ about the issue of isha. So the point is now for our topic is to clarify that this was the methodology of the sahab and tabi'in, that they believed that the isha continued until the fajr for those people who were in a case like the woman on her menses. For those people who were in a case like the woman on her menses. And so this is the case. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a great work, a number of great works. We're familiar with many of them. He also has an explanation of Sahih Bukhari called Fathu al-Bari. So there are two great scholars. Both of them have explanations of Bukhari, and both of them are entitled Fath al-Bari. One of them is Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and the other one is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala. So in his explanation, Ibn Rajab, he mentions, فَإِنَّ قَوْلَ مَنْ قَالَ آخِرُ وَقْتِهَا ثُلُثَ اللَّيْلِ أَوْ نِصْفُهُ إِنَّمَا أَرَادَ وَقْتَ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. He's saying that those scholars before that have mentioned that the time for the Isha is the third of the night or the middle of the night, what they intend by that is the waqt al-ikhtiyar, the time, yani the proper time, the correct time, yani before there is a time of necessity. He says, وَقَالُوا يَبْقَى وَقْتُ الضُرُورَةِ مُمْتَدًا إِلَى تُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ. He says, so, and they mention as well that the time for the fajr, the time of necessity, it continues all the way until the rising of the fajr. فَلَوْ اسْتَيْقَظَ نَائِمٌ أَوْ أَفَاقَ مُغْمًا عَلَيْهِ أَوْ طَهَرَتْ حَائِضٌ أَوْ بَلَغَ صَبِيٌّ أَوْ أَسْلَمَ كَافِرٌ بَعْدِ نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ لَازِمَهُمْ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ لَازِمَهُمْ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ. He said, so therefore, if one was sleeping and he woke up, or somebody was unconscious and he regained conscious, or a woman was on her menses and she became pure, or there was a child who reached the age of puberty, or a disbeliever accepted Islam after the middle of the night, it's an obligation for them to pray the prayer of Isha. It's an obligation for them to pray the prayer of Isha. He says, وَفِي لُزُومِ صَلَاةِ الْمَغْرِبِ لَهُمْ قَوْلَانِ مَشْهُورَانِ لِلْعُلَمَاءِ. And as for the obligation of praying along with that Maghrib, then the people of knowledge, they have two well-known positions, yani with regards to this. The scholars, they have two well-known positions with regards to this. He said, وَقَدْ رُوِيَ عَنْ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنِ عَوْفِ أَنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ إِذَا طَهُرَتْ قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ صَلَّتِ الْمَغْرِبَ وَالْعِشَاءَ. وَعَنْ بِنْ عَبَاسٍ أَيْضًا وَحُكِيَ مِثْلُهُ عَنِ الْفُقَهَاءِ السَّبْعَةِ. So he says, and it has been narrated from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, yani mentioning similar that which Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned likewise, rahimahumullah, that a woman, if she becomes pure before the, and from her menses, if she becomes pure from her menses before the rising of the fajr, then she must pray maghrib and isha. And likewise, this is narrated from Ibn Abbas, also radiyallahu anhuma, he says, and as what has been narrated from al-fuqaha al-sab'a. It has been narrated from al-fuqaha al-sab'a, the seven fuqaha. The seven fuqaha. You need those seven fuqaha who were all alive at one time from the tabi'een and present in al-Madinah. And present in al-Madinah, and we have taken them and discussed their affair. They all had the same position likewise, that the woman, if she becomes pure in the middle of the night before Fajr, then any pure from her menses in the middle of the night before Fajr, then she must pray Maghrib and Isha. So these are other issues on the side, but the point is to identify these times here. These times here. So Isha, it has the proper time to pray it until the middle of the night after it comes in. And as for after that, it's not allowed to delay the Isha. It's not allowed to delay the Isha after that, except for the case of those who have an excuse. Except for the case of those who have an excuse. So likewise, a person, he will not delay it without an excuse. He will not delay it beyond that, beyond the middle of the night without the excuse. As for the Fajr, then we have seen what those the people of knowledge have mentioned, any from the rising of the true Fajr until the rising of the sun. Until the rising of the sun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the narration we had taken, من أدرك ركعة من الصبح قبل أن تطلع الشمس فقد أدرك الصبح. That whoever catches one rakah of the morning prayer before the sun rises, then he caught the morning prayer. Then he caught the morning prayer. An indication that also the time of Fajr, it extends all the way to the rising of the sun. Whenever they say the rising of the sun, that means Shuruq al-Shams. Shuruq al-Shams, what that is whenever the sun begins to rise. Whenever the sun, the top of the disk of the sun cracks the horizon. That's called Shuruq. At that time, Fajr ends, and at that time, it's not allowed to pray. At that time, Fajr ends, and at that time, it's not allowed to pray. And likewise, at that time, in many of our devices, the beep goes off. Also at that time, many people have devices, right? And it says sunrise, shuruq. That's the time the beep goes off, right when the sun starts to rise. So at this time is the strongest, one of the strongest times is forbidden to pray. But many people, because they do not know, they wait for this time and they think that's the time of duha. That's not the time of duha. Duha did not come in yet. Likewise, duha has a proper time as well, even though it's not an obligatory prayer. So at that time, it's prohibited to pray. So whenever that beep goes off for the sunrise, and that means that the Fajr has ended, because the sun is rising. So the sun will rise for several minutes. Now that's the time when the top of the sun peaks the horizon. Breaks the horizon. Now the sun has to clear the horizon. And then it has to clear the horizon some distance likewise till it's a good height in the sky before it's allowed to pray duha. The people of Nadas, they mention approximately 15 minutes. Approximately 15 minutes from the time of the beginning of the sunrise. From the sunrise. And you basically, whenever the alarm goes off identifying the time of the sunrise, 15 minutes later, now the time for duha enters. Now it will be time. Now I would be allowed to pray the non-obligatory prayer in the early day. The non-obligatory prayer in the early day. Not before that. Not before that. Before that, it's not allowed to pray. Any after the Fajr has ended until the sun rises properly. Until the sun rises properly. So the people of Nad, as they mentioned, now we see the times. So how, what is most important now for our discussion is the beginning of the time, so that we don't pray before that, and likewise the ending of the time, so that we know that we must pray in the proper time. That we must pray in the proper time. If somebody prayed before the time came in, it's not accepted, it must be repeated, regardless of his excuse. If he delayed it till outside of the proper time, he's sinning. It's not allowed. And those proper times are different. The Isha and the Asr, they have those two different aspects, and the other ones, we have seen them likewise. So it's not allowed to delay as well. It has to be performed inside the proper time. So the people of Nad, as they mentioned, how does one catch the time? I mean, what is required for a person to be considered catching the time? I mean, how much of the prayer must he have performed to be considered catching the prayer in time, any of the bare minimum? So with regards to this, there's a narration that has preceded in Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Yani there's another wording of that narration. مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَكَّةً مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ. And this one is general. Whoever catches one rakah from the salat, then he has caught the salah. The other wording is من أدرك ركعة من الصبح أو من أدرك ركعة من العصر من العصر. Then he has caught the subh or the asr. This one is more general. من أدرك ركعة من الصلاة فقد أدرك الصلاة. Whoever catches one rak'ah from the salah, then he caught the salah. Meaning that a person, he has to begin, make the takbir, and finish one whole rak'ah entirely. And he meaning that he finished both sujood. And he stood and he bowed and he went to sujood and finished his sujood. Now he has completed a rak'ah. Now all he has to do is stand up. That's considered completing one rak'ah. The one who did this inside the time, he caught the time. He caught the prayer in time. He's considered performing the prayer in time. We understand that? If he did not catch this amount, then he missed the prayer in his proper time. Then he missed the prayer in his proper time. Then he missed the prayer in his proper time. So this is very important. This is very important. Also, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, again, it's not allowed to delay outside of his proper time. It's not allowed to pray before it, and it's also, once it enters, it's not allowed to delay it outside of his proper time. It's not allowed to delay it outside of his proper time. We have seen the example of the one who does this with the asr. He's considered a munafiq. So the one, any delaying the prayer in general outside of his proper time, this is from the lowly traits of the hypocrites. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are negligent and heedless with regards to their prayer. And it's been mentioned, yani, meaning the time of their prayer specifically. So this is not good. We must observe that time properly. We must observe that time properly. As for inside of its time, then it's allowed to delay performing the prayer inside of the time. It's allowed to delay performing the prayer inside of the time. So it's not an obligation to pray the prayer at its first time. That's the point. It's not an obligation to pray the prayer at its first time. It's an obligation to pray the prayer in its time. So it's allowed and not blameworthy for a person to pray the prayer any time in its time. In the first of the time, in the middle of the time, or in the end of the time. Or in the end of the proper time. Al-waqt al-ikhtiyar, yani. In the proper time. So the one who prayed the prayer in his proper time, either in the beginning, or in the middle, or in the end, then he's not blameworthy. This is all allowed. And this is beneficial. So it's not an obligation for a person to pray at the beginning of the time. If a person is working, for example, and he doesn't have to attend the congregation, he's on his own, or he's working, or and the likes like this, then if it's in his best interest to pray it in the middle of the time, it's allowed for him. He will not have to put himself for a hardship or a burden. For example, Dhuhr. Dhuhr, there's only one time. Dhuhr has one time, from the time it comes in until the time it goes out. Anybody who performs Dhuhr in that time, he's performed the obligation rightfully, and he has fulfilled the trust, and there's no blame on him. So the one who is able to pray it in the earliest time, this is what is best and most virtuous. But according to one's circumstance and situation, maybe it's not in his best interest in this particular day to pray it at the first of the time. So therefore, it's allowed for him to pray it in the middle of the time, or even to pray it in the end of the time, so long as he does not delay until the time is so short. Now he's pecking at the prayer, trying to hasten and to beat the clock. You understand this? The same thing with the asr. But whenever we say with the asr, meaning the waqt al-ikhtiyari, that it's not an obligation to pray asr at his first time. He can pray it at his first time, or the middle time, or the end time. When is the end of asr? It's firar al-shams. This is what we're talking, the end of asr, at the end of al-waqt al-ikhtiyari. Now we're talking about before maghrib. La. The asr times ends at the al-waqt al-ikhtiyari. Whenever it's firar al-shams, whenever the shade of something becomes twice its length. Yani, I would say roughly, inshallah, we want to try to identify this and make better effort to be more specific, approximately 1 hour or less before the sunset. Maybe give or take some. Yani, we can have to identify that, but yani, roughly in this area, 45 minutes before the sunset, it's not allowed to delay to the likes of this time. And we will check, inshallah, to see which one is closer. No doubt it changes throughout the years, likewise, throughout the year or throughout the season. But the point is that the one who performed it in that period before that, then he's not blameworthy. Likewise, the one who performed the Maghrib time, once the time comes in, until so long as that red is in the sky, he performed it in the proper time. And the likes like this is allowed for him. So a person, he will look into that which is most beneficial for him in his need. If he's able to perform it in the earliest time, this is better and most virtuous. But sometimes a person is moving through life and he needs to delay it, and the religion has room for that, and he will not be considered blameworthy. so long as he performs it upon light, upon knowledge, in the proper time, without delaying, in a manner that's considered negligent. Likewise, the Isha as well, until the middle of the night. Even the Isha prayer is better to pray it in the later part of the night, if it's possible. If it's possible, without bringing hardship on the people. With regards to delaying the prayer beyond its proper time, this also is with regards to the one who slept. This is also with regards to the one who slept. Somebody, for example, he slept on accident, and then he woke up. And then he woke up after the sun rose, and on accident entirely. But then whenever he realized that the sun has risen, now he just goes back to sleep. He already missed the prayer. So even if a person here were to accidentally sleep on the time, for example, somebody who overslept on the Fajr, even if he was innocent in that, he did not mean to. The prayer still has a proper time to be prayed. It's not allowed to him to. It's not allowed for him to delay it any longer. So he will not be able to wake up, for example, and realize maybe he woke up and then he finds that he's late. He looks at his watch. He says, "Allahu Musta'an, the sun has already risen. I already missed the fajr." So then he'll just throw the covers over his head and go back to sleep. He said, "I already missed the fajr," and he, with the intention of praying it later, he's gonna just delay it longer. He's going to go ahead and finish his sleep. This is not allowed. It's not allowed. He did not delay it. Beyond his time on purpose. But now that he knows, it's not allowed for him to delay it any longer. Rather now that once he has realized this, this is the time. This is the time for the prayer. Had he been sincerely, had he been late on accident sincerely, then the time for him to pray the prayer is whenever he wakes up and realizes. He's still not considered negligent. And because there's no negligence in sleeping. I mean, the one who slept on accident and he missed the time of the prayer, he's not held accountable. He's not blameworthy. And the time for him is whenever he wakes up. Likewise, someone who forgot. He thought he prayed and then he forgot. He didn't pray until the time is gone. He missed the prayer entirely, forgetfully. Then this person here, likewise, he's not blameworthy. There's no sin upon him. But he must pray as soon as he remembers. The time for him is whenever he remembers. The time for this person in this circumstance is whenever he remembers and not later. If he delayed it later than that without an excuse, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. For example, the person who was sleeping and then he woke up and did not have janabah, he didn't have any other reason to delay him. He woke up normal and then he found out he is late for the prayer, or he missed it's past sunrise. So he just goes back to sleep now. This is not allowed. Now he's sinning. Waliyadhu billah. It has been corrected by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man nasiya salatan falyusalliha idha dhakaraha la kafarata laha illa dhalika," that whoever forgot a prayer, then let him pray it as soon as he remembers, and there's no expiation for that except for that. Likewise, in one wording of Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man nasiya salatan aw nama anha فَكَفَّارَتُهَا أَنْ يُصَلِّيَهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا," that whoever forgot a prayer or he slept on the prayer, and meaning he slept until the time of the prayer has passed, then the expiation for that is that he should pray it as soon as he remembers. So the one who forgot the prayer, or the one who slept until the time of the prayer went out, the time for him is whenever he remembers. So if he delayed it beyond that time, now he's sinning and delaying the prayer beyond his proper time. Initially, he was excused because of forgetfulness. Initially, he was excused because of sleep. But now that he has awoken or remembered, and then he continued to delay it even longer, now this is considered sinning and blameworthy. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the prayer must be performed in these proper times. And the best time is in its earliest time, and this is in general. And it's been connected likewise by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that a man, he said, "Ayyul amali ahabbu ilallah." He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ayyul amali ahabbu ilallah?" What are the most beloved deeds to Allah? What are the deeds that are most beloved to Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded with a number of deeds, beginning with as-salatu ala waqtiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, praying the prayer in his proper time. Some other wordings has come likewise, yani in the other books of the Sunnah, like in Sunan Abi Dawood and the likes, as-salatu li-awwali waqtiha. As-salatu li-awwali waqtiha, yani clarifying, what does it mean? Ala waqtiha, ala, yani ala al-isti'la, ala waqtiha, ala ra'si waqtiha, at the beginning of his time. So in the other wordings, as-salatu li-waqtiha. In other wordings, likewise, as-salatu li-awwali waqtiha. The prayer at its first time. The most beloved deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal is the prayer at its first time. So the one who has the ability to do that, he would do that. This is in general, especially with the Fajr and the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib. It's been mentioned in a number of narrations that the methodology of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to pray them at its earliest time. Likewise, he would pray the Isha as well at its earliest time, but he preferred to delay it if he could. And he mentioned that that is better for the Isha prayer so long as it's not hard on the people. So this is the best any methodology, that the prayer will be prayed at its earliest time. But if a person is ever in a situation where he needs to pray it in the middle time, it's a lot for him. Or even if he needs to pray it at the end of the time, meaning at the proper time, then likewise it's allowed for him and it's not blameworthy. Some people who have no knowledge, maybe they'll spend the day with a person or they'll work with a person and then they'll find that that person, he prayed Dhuhr. If Dhuhr came in at 1 o'clock and goes out at 5:30, he prayed Dhuhr at, like, for example, 3 o'clock. Maybe he'll blame him and find fault with him. Oh, this brother, he's delaying the prayer. I heard people saying, complaining to me about individuals, he's delaying the prayer. What time did he pray the prayer? This person here is not delaying the prayer. The person who prayed Dhuhr at 3 o'clock is not delaying the prayer. The Dhuhr, for example, is from 1 until 5:30, for example, or 1:30 to 5:30. 3 o'clock is fine. It's better, if possible, to pray it before that. But if a person is busy and he's got obligations or requirements on his hand, if he prayed it in the middle of the time, it's allowed for him. This is from the aspect of the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna dina yusra," that the religion is easy. This is from the ease in the religion. This is an obligation that must be prescribed. It must be performed. But the times are spacious. They have a beginning and an end. The one who performed it in that time, he performed the right property. There are many narrations, yani, clarifying the details of the times of the prayer. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.